Today's Perek in Tanakh is Malachim Bet, Perek Yud Aleph. So we have completed the story of Yehu, and what Yehu accomplished was the fulfillment of the Neviut against the Beit Ahav. But remember, it was done in an extremely, extremely vicious and mad fashion, as Yehu himself was a nut, is what they called him. He was a crazy driver, he was a crazy manik, and that's the way they looked at him, and that's the way he acted. He was probably the only one that could have done it in the way that he did. And that's what was necessary for accomplishing the tremendous bizayon of Beit Ahav. But it's interesting that Yehu was actually seen, and this we know from contemporary records, which is amazing. And the most striking of those records is Shalmaneser. That supposedly didn't exist until they finally discovered his entire leftover stela and palace and so on, which is now in the British Museum. So if you go see that, it's astonishing, because he's got a list of all of the various nations that had brought tribute and how they had conquered everybody. But he's only got one picture, and the picture is of Yehu. Here is the Yehu. And for some reason, he says, Ben Omri. Now, of course, the whole point of Yehu was to destroy the household of Omri. So, first of all, you see the incredible fame that Omri had attained. I mean, that we saw, that was four generations of Melucha, and the expansion, and the Ahav's tremendous, his contribution to the armies, way up in the edge of Turkey, at the places where we'd never think that they reached. This we have from their own contemporary records. But that means that he was seen as an extension of the Omri Melucha. And what's more fascinating is, of course, as we know, the idea that Omri, that Ahav ultimately really achieved, was that through intermarriage between the families of Ahav and the families of Malchi Yehuda, there was nearly, in terms of politics, in terms of war, there was nearly a single Melucha. It's only the populace that was tremendously different. But the Melucha was completely interwoven, which is why, if you recall, when Yehu went to destroy Yoram and Ahaziah, that bayit, it was destroying Yehuda. It was because of the fact that Ahaziah had come down to see his cousin that he got killed. And then when the rest of the family came to find out what was happening, they got killed on the way by Yehu and his men in the area of the shepherd's place, you recall. And so it was clear to him, it was clear to Yehu at least, that that's an extension of Ahav's house. This parak moves us back into Malchi Yehuda to see what was happening back at the ranch. And back at the ranch, of course, we know that Ahaziah had been born basically from Ahav's household, because over here it was Ataliyahu that was his mother, Yoram's, remember the kings all had the same names, so Yoram's wife, and he had married into, she was called earlier Bat Omri, which Papashtis means she was from the household of Omri, but it was really the daughter of Ahav. And she was by no means interested in Malchut Yehuda. What she was interested in isn't clear. But in the same way that we learned, not here, but in Divrei HaYomim, we learned that Ahaziah, in order to inherit the Melucha, actually murdered his brothers in order to be the only one who could be Yoresh. There were others, in fact, that had come from other mothers and so on. And they were still left behind. And so, Va'ataliyahu, im Ahaziah, ra'ataki meit binah. So Ataliyah, who was now the mother of the king Ahaziah, who had been murdered now by Yehu, she saw Kimeit Bina. She saw that her son had been killed. Now, either she went bananas, or she was terrified that if Yehu would find anybody within Yehuda that would stand up for him, that they would kill Ataliyah, because she was basically the Yezebel type. It was the whole idea of Tzor and the worship of the Baal, as we'll see later on. That's what she was into. She was a vicious, vicious woman. As a matter of fact, she's the only person in Tanakh that is identified as a Mirsha'at. She's called Va'ataliyah Mirsha'at in Divrei HaYamim, not here. She is a vicious woman. A rotten person, Rasha. Rasha, someone who does Rishut.
Evil.
The evil Atalia. And she herself wanted, apparently, to be the ruler. So she went out to destroy any of the legitimate heirs of the throne and took over herself. Now, the fact is that in doing so, she obviously would leave nothing behind her. I mean, she destroyed all of her own children as well. But at least she had her moment in the sun. So she saw, Ra'ata ki meit mena, vatokom, vatabed et kol zera. She went, got up, and destroyed kol zera hamlucha, hamamlacha, the entire, which sounds like she destroyed the whole David HaMelech's children. And indeed, this is the Gemara we just had. The Gemara pointed out that because of the mice of Nov Ira Kohanim, David was given the choice of, you know, do you want your children to be destroyed? It's one of his options. It was the whole question, what should he choose? And there was nigzar on him. That is, zera would be kola. Asks the Gemara, if zera was kola, then how is it that Yoash survived? And points out that exactly the same thing happened in Nov Ira Kohanim. There was the one child that survived now out of Nov. And Enoch Hinnom, he says the Medrash, if it hadn't have been that one child would have survived Nov, then David HaMelech would have been completely wiped out. So because Eviatar was left for Achimelech ben Achituv, remember it says over there, Vayimalet, ben echad l'Achimelech ben Achituv, ushmo Eviatar, and ilmalei lo nishtayer Eviatar l'Achimelech lo nishtayer mizaro shel David. So that one child that survived Nov became one child that survived David HaMelech's Malucha. Otherwise, it would have been the end of the entire Malchut Beit David. Batikach Yosheva, Bat HaMelech Yoram, Achot Achaziah, Et Yoash Ben Achaziah. So now he had an aunt. And what happened over here is that it was only the Zerah HaMamlacha, which was only the males. It's the only one to destroy the male heirs. Yehosheva, who was a sister of Ahaziah, grabbed the nursing Yoash from the nursery, together with his nursemaid. So she took him at Yoash ben Ahaziah, vatignovoto mitoch bnei hamelach hamumatin, otovet mi menikto bechadar hamitot. So she took him and his nursemaid. Now, again, Chazal have a fantastic description of this, and it's clear from the story that that's actually what happened. Now, so the simple meaning is that she went into the nursery. Chadar HaMitot. Everything in the nursery is a place where all the cribs are. Right? But we'll see that what actually happened, what's referring here to the Chadar HaMitot, and this is a fantastic sugya, which I wrote an essay about, but again, Yaakov Avinu, right, about sleep. That the Beis HaMikdash is a place for sleeping. It's an amazing thing. So that the Beis HaMikdash is called the bedroom. So it's where the Shekhinah and Yisrael sleep together, so to speak. It's where it was that Yaakov Avinu fell asleep. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this tzaddik came to my hotel and is not going to sleep there. And so immediately the sun sets so that he should sleep. And Chazal identified this Chadar HaMitot as the Beit HaMikdash. Now in Divrei HaYamim, we discover that this aunt, Yosheva, was married to Yehoyada, who was called the Kohen HaRosh. She was the Kohen in charge of everything, the Beit HaMikdash. If you analyze, it's a fantastic story, if you take a look at with the historical perspective. You remember that Binayahu, at the time of Shlomo, he was the one that got everything done. And it was Shlomo would tell him, do it, kill him. You know? He was the hitman. He was the one that went out to see to it that Shlomo's Malchus would survive. He was the son of Yehoyada. This Yehoyada was named after his father. He was the son of Binayahu. The son of Binayahu at this time is 120 years old. He dies at the age of 130 in Divrei HaYamim. His age is given. So, I mean, but you could figure out that at this point, just from the age is given. And he is an extremely powerful person that everybody knows and is in full control, not only of his faculties, but also of all of the facilities in the Beis HaMikdash, which includes the Levim and the Kohanim, the entire Shevet. So he together, obviously, and his name is not given yet, but Yosheva was the one that had free access to the throne, was able to steal away Yoash and the night of the murders. And that way she brought him to the Beit HaMikdash, to her husband, and he hid him in the Beit HaMikdash itself. Does some say, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's hidden in the Ta'im, which are the small rooms that are built into the wall, or whether it was in the Aliyah, in the second story above the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Some say, the Gemara says it's really not a machlokas, one is Bimot HaChama, one is Bimot HaGeshamim, but in any event, it's a remarkable story, which has horrible implications later on for him in his life, as we'll see. And Vayastiru oto mipnei Ataliyahu, they take this infant, they keep him hidden, Velohu mat, and he wasn't killed. Vayitab Beit Adonai mitchabei shesh shanim, for 6 years, she is able to keep him hidden in the Beit HaMikdash while Ataliyah molechet ala aretz. So this vicious Ataliyah makes herself queen. And it's basically queen for a day. She's got no future. She's got no heirs. And she is a tyrant. As we'll see, the happiness, the joy at the downfall of Ataliyah was so spontaneous. Very similar to the Izevel in the way that everything turned instantly against Izevel. And she knew it. Ubashana ha-shivi'it, in the 7th year, when the child was old enough to be presented to the people as a potential ruler, Shalach Yehoyada vayikach et sarei hameot lakariv v'laratzim vayaveh otam elav Beit Adonai. In the 7th year, Yehoyada sent and took the sarei hameot, which there's quite a few, lakari, kari is always a lashon of shilchu kar, the diplomatic corps, basically, the shlichim, and the ratzim, who would be together with the melech, brought them to him in secret, into the Beit Hashem. Now, in Divrei Hayamim, it says that he actually sent across the entire country, collected the leaders of the Levim and the Kohanim from all around, brought them to the Beit HaMikdash, Vayichrot Lehem Brit, came into, made a treaty, in which all of them swore, Vayishbaotam Beit Adonai, Vayarotam et Ben HaMelech. He shows them that there is indeed a survivor to Malchut Beit Avinah. Everybody had given up hope. This just appeared to them to be such an insane situation. You have this rotten woman who comes from the house of Achav, which ultimately comes from Tzur, but the Izevel, it's a horror. There's no longer anything left. The Gemara says that she actually used to tear apart the Beit HaMikdash. She would take out the gold, rip it off the walls, pull out the beautiful nails of Zahav that were used in the Beit HaMikdash. So she was the one that was horeset the bayit. And this is what's going on. There was such loyalty to Malchut Beit David. I mean, you're talking about something that's been going on for years and years, and she didn't find out, which is an amazing thing in and of itself. You can have all of these people involved, and she didn't find out. Vayitzalim leimor ze'adavar ashetasu. He commanded them. He was a powerful man, and they accepted what he said. It's amazing how these psukim take for granted entire sugyas in Shas. That, I mean, you really have no idea what this is all about. We know that David HaMelech set up the Mishmarot. Again, from Ramazim and Psukim, these were the Mishmarot that we spoke about earlier, even at the time that he had been up there with Shmuel. And we know that a Mishmar switches on Shabbos. So this is Mishmar HaYotzei, the Mishmar HaNichnas, and so on. This pasuk takes all of that for granted. So what happened is that Yehoyada held the Mishmar HaYotzei. So he'd have double the number of people, Bechlal, from among the Kohanim. Usually they would have left. So he tells them like this. He said, what I want you to do is this. Hashlishit mikem, one-third of the armed forces that we're going to have available, which are the Ba'ei HaShabbat, the Mishmar that's coming in for Shabbat, plus the Shomrei Mishmeret Beit HaMelech, those that were going to be supposed to be now the Chashuvim, that are always called the representatives of the king here, that's the Mishmar HaMelech, they are going to be utilized for continued work in the Beit HaMikdash. So that I can't, obviously we're not going to stop the Avodah. So they're not going to be able to handle as much as the other Mishmar, which will handle another two spots. And they will be the one that will be directly in charge of the Beit HaMelech. That's the Kori and the Ratzim that we spoke about earlier. And they will prevent people from Ataliyah's group from being able to enter the Beit HaMikdash. Now another third, we're going to explain where this third comes from in a moment, is going to be in the Sha'ar Sur. Sha'ar Sur is very interesting because in the Divrei Hayomim, the name of the Sha'ar is the Sha'ar Yesod. But as Radak points out, Suru Ra, Suro Ra is Yesodo, is Ra. Or Chazar le Suro went back to his Yesod. So Sur and Yesod are different ways of looking at the essence or the pith of a thing. So what this would mean then is Sha'ar Sur would be the central Sar, the Yesod Sar, which is probably Sha'ar Nignor, became Sha'ar Nignor later in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash when Nignor sent, had the whole Nesemt with his doors. But this was the main gate where everybody would be coming in. And one third, Ashlishit B'Sha'ar Achar HaRatzim, they would be in the gate where there would be normally the people that would be running back and forth directly into the king's palace. So that would be the place where they gave kovet to the king who would come into the Beit HaMikdash. Ushmartem et mishmeret habayit masach. And you're to watch the mishmar here, not to allow anybody in, without, there's a machlokas here how to understand the word masach. Some learn that it means, the way it appears in the Gemara all the time, is hesech hadad. So without turning aside for a moment, I mean, it cannot be even an instant of non-attention, because we can't afford to have one person get in here, because all we need is to have an assassin walking around, one over Zoom. So you can't have masach. Others learn, mishmeret habayit masach, the bayit that has been, the place that has been broken, masach is also beit keim yisach Hashem, is a lashon of destruction, which would mean that Atalia had actually broken through the walls of the Beit HaMikdash to prevent it from being used as a center of rebellion by who she knew were her worst enemies, were those who would continue the Misorah of Malchut Beit David. Now remember, if you analyze the Orei HaKohanim, you see that 9 out of the 13 Orei HaKohanim were in Yehuda. And remember, if you look back in history, there's a profound interrelationship between Yehuda and the Mishpachat Aaron. Because who did Aaron marry? Kavesheva was the sister of Nachshon Ben Aminadab. So this is that means that he married into the Malchus Yehuda, essentially. The rest of the Orei HaKohanim are all in Binyamin. So that means that the Malucha of Yehuda Binyamin included all of the Kohanim. So this is something that has like deep historical roots. So she understood that the ones that would be maintaining the idea, at least, of Malchut Beit David would be these people. So she literally tore down the wall of the Beit HaMikdash. Ushtei hayadot b'chan, now the two-thirds, I've been talking about the first third I explained. I said that would be the Shomrei, the Nichnasei HaShabbat. Two-thirds would be the ones that would normally be leaving, who do not have to be working in the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore are available completely for this job. V'shamruot mishmeret Beit Adonai El HaMelech. I want you to be profoundly aware of the fact that you're doing God's work here in protecting the king. V'kaftem HaMelech saviv ish v'chelav b'yado. Every man with his weapon in his hands, and you're to set it up. And we'll see, he sets it up with lines that are going north, south, and east, west, to protect the king in the middle. And haba el hasderot yumat, anybody that penetrates this formation, it's a simple lashon, seder, it's not how Rashi learns, should be killed on the spot. V'yu et hamelech b'tzeito b'vo'o, and continue to stay with the king, surrounding him, as he goes, and he leaves this place. And the others, the Rashi learns, they wrote, is the place of formation, not this formation, meaning that there was a place where they would normally form the guards. So they have the formation of guards where the king would come in. And they kept to everything that he said. Each man who was in charge, the Sarei Meot, of his own group of 100, each Sarmiah had 100 men underneath him, the Mishmar that had come in for Shabbat, the Mishmar that had left for Shabbat, to bring the men to Yoyada. Now, normally, of course, you didn't walk into the Beit HaMikdash armed, on the contrary. But over here, he armed them. And he armed them with the Shalatim HaShel HaMelech David. Remember that David HaMelech had deposited these gold, the shield. There were gold-covered shields, and there were these things that he had taken from Hadadezer, all of the arms, which had been put, Asher B'Beit Adonai. And he gave them to them as weapons. And so the runners, each one of them had his gun in his hand. And so they had arranged to the north and the south, and also east and west, which is Mizbeach Ubayit, so that they basically surrounded the entire inside of the Beit HaMikdash with the king in the middle. Vayotziat ben HaMelech, took out the ben HaMelech, vayitena lav et ha-nezer v'et ha-idut, vayimlichu oto vayimshacheyu. They put on him the crown. Now, the crown, we know, as a matter of fact, Chazal learned, the crown is the Edut, because this was a crown that had a notch in it, so that, or it was extremely weighty, you remember, it was insanely weighty, and it had been basically a decorative crown. So the only one that could wear such a crown was only someone who was, in fact, a Yoresh of David. So he had to have, genetically, he had to have a formed skull that this thing would fit on, or that it would be highlighting him, the Derech Nez, that he could handle it. But the simple meaning is the Nezer and the Edut would mean the Sefer Torah that was written for the Melech. Or, some learn it's the Edut, it's the Sefer that Shmuel had written that had been placed in the Beit HaMikdash, if you remember, at the time that he gave over the Dinim of the Melech. Now, if it means that, then what it means is that they were recreating the original vision of the Malchut as Shmuel had given it, which was very meaningful, because we'll see that they make a Brit based on this in a moment. And that means that they wanted everybody to understand that the period of all this nonsense and acting as if it's a political game, the Malchut, is over. And that there's no more Malchut, there's no more tyranny, there's no more murder. And that from now on it's a question of those who are Ro'i to be Melech based on the Brit with the people, which is, of course, the entire nature of Malchut as an emergent property. And so they were mamlechim, vayim shacheu, they did the Mishicha because of the Machlovit, of course, vayaku kaf, vayomru yichya melech, and they all basically, they clapped, that's kol amim tiku chaf, that's part of the nature of the idea of the melucha, vayomru yichya melech. Now, Ataliyahu was completely unaware of what's going on. Hears it. This big celebration is going on, and she panics and she runs directly into the Beit Hashem. Vatavoy la'am Beit Adonai. Vatera, and there she sees. Vinei HaMelech omed al ha'amud, tamishpat. The king is standing on the amud. Now that amud was something that we find in the Mishnah. That's what the king would stand on when he would read the Sefer Torah. Obviously, there was a specific amud. The one that Shlomo had stood on, we talked about the Amud of time of Shlomo, when he was Mechanech, was Bispal for the Beit HaMikdash, Kamishpat, the way that had been in the Malchut Yudah, Vasarim, Vachatzotzot, Al HaMelech, and here all of the leaders, the trumpets were around the Melech, V'chol Am HaAretz Sameach, Tokeh Vachatzotzot, and all of the leaders of the people were here. In Divrei Hayomim, it's clear that the Am HaAretz over here is not the Amun Am, who were not invited yet, they appear later, but rather the Am HaAretz means all of the leaders of the rich people, the noblemen, landholders, and so on. And they're all happy, and they're blowing in the Chatzotzot, and she goes bananas again, Vatikra Atalyat Begadea. Now, of course, tearing clothes is always a simon of the loss of the Malchus. That's how Shaul loses the Malchus. That was the simon that way back when the Malchus was going to be split with Yeravam, that was also the simon of the loss of the Malchus. She tears her own clothes, which everybody undoubtedly saw as, you know, that's the end of her. Vatikra, and she shouts, Kesher, Kosher, it's a plot. Vaitzav Yodah Kohen. Now here, you see the remarkable difference between Yehu and his insanity. I mean, the way that he murdered Yisavah, and sitting down to a smoke afterwards, and waiting till there was nothing left to bury. No, and over here, the care at which minimal bloodshed, and certainly not in the Beit HaMikdash. So Yehoyada HaKohen commanded the Sarei HaMeot, Pikudei HaChayel, V'yomar lehem hotziu ota, get her out of here, El mi Beit Lasderot, V'yaba achareha, anybody who attempts to join her, it has to be killed on the spot, Tamek Bachorev, but she should not be killed. Ki amar HaKohen al tumat Beit Adonai. Because the Kohen said she shouldn't be killed in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, some learn what this means, Ki Amar HaKohen, he was reporting on what the Kohen Gadol had said. Because even though it calls him Kohen HaRosh, in the list of the Kohanim, of the Roshim that are in Divrei HaYamim, Yoyada never appears. And in fact, he's from the wrong bayit. Because all of the descendants of Itamar were rejected by Shlomo. So when it says Kohen HaRosh, some learn it doesn't mean Kohen Gadol. Kohen HaRosh means the Kohen who was in charge of all of the needs of the Beit HaMikdash. So that everybody, administrative head, and obviously had immense, not only political authority, but spiritual authority. But in terms of the Beit HaMikdash itself, the Kohen Gadol was the one that was able to give a pekida. The bayit shouldn't be witness to murder. And I can't give over to you the insanity of what's going on over here, because I have to talk about what happens later. But in Divrei HaYamim, it says that Yehoyada was Moshechim with his son. Now, what's amazing is that his son is Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Zechariah ben Yehoyada is the one who was murdered at that spot where he said, don't kill Ataliah in the Beit HaMikdash. He is murdered by Yoash, who he saved and who he turned into the king. That becomes the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. We just had the Gemara. The blood of Zechariah keeps bubbling up, and they can't do anything to stop it. It's that Zechariah was the son of Yehoyada. And the way that the Pasuk brings this out in Divrei HaYamim, the astonishing violation of every norm of human just decency, in which the concern for the Beit HaMikdash and for his grandmother, basically, Ataliah. And it's this Yehoyada that took care of him, that fed him, that protected him for these 6 years, and that made him the king, that he should murder his son. It's an astonishing story, and needs to be understood in light of the whole psychology of what happened to him in the Beit HaMikdash, as we'll see. But in any event, this is a remarkable pasuk, not only for itself in its contrast to Yehu, but also for what it says about the future. Vatumat sham, and she was killed there in the Beit HaMelech. So I'd say she was killed there because that was the place where she had murdered the children of the Malchut. Vayichrot Yehoyada tabrit ben Adonai uben HaMelech uven ha'am liyot la'am la'Adonai uven HaMelech uven ha'am. The brit first was between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of those participating. The purpose of this Malchut is to learn to be an Am to Hashem. Then you can have Uben HaMelech Uben HaAm. So that the emergence of a Melech from Yisrael is innately different than the emergence of a Melech in any other context. Because it's an expression of the essence of Yisrael, which is the recognition of Reishis, which is the achievement of the earth's ability to become aware of itself and of the meaning of its own creation. And so all of these leaders, and this is interesting because it's before they celebrate the king, they first go to destroy the Beit HaBaal. So the first thing that they do as an expression of this brit, and again, if it was the edut of the nature of the Malchut, so all of this is included in Shmuel's document. So the entire Am Haaretz comes to the Beit HaBaal, Vayitutzuhu et Mizbechotav et Slamav, Shibru etev, they busted it into pieces, that Matan, Kohen HaBaal, and the Kohen of the Baal, who was the representative of Tzor, they killed Argulif Ne'am Mizbechot, Vayasem HaKohen Pekudot al Beit Adonai. And the Kohen gave over the Pekidim, on the ones who would now be in charge of the Beit Hashem, after destroying the Beit HaBaal, then vayoridu et HaMelech mibeit Adonai, vayavo derech shar haratzim beit HaMelech. They took him through that special gate that they had protected, vayeshev al kisei hamlachim, and there he sat on the throne of the king. I forgot, I think, pasuk tet zayin, because it's a beautiful pasuk. Vayasimu lo yadayim, they set out hands for her, which the Pashta meaning is they held hands with each other and left her no choice but only to walk in one direction. Didn't allow anybody to walk in. But what's interesting is that in Josephus, there's a very detailed account of this event. And what he describes is the Mizdar that we spoke about before, to the north and the south, the Mizbeach and the Bayit, that they had all joined hands. So that anybody that attempted to break through, like they do, you know, like they do today in cops do. So anybody who attempted to break through was immediately noticed, murdered, and killed on the spot. So in any event, it could mean that they just, you know, they just kept everybody from her because people wanted to murder her also. I mean, she was extremely popular. We see everybody's happy now. So then we come at the end, Vayismach Kol Ama Aretz. This is already a reference to the people as a whole. Ve'ayir Shakata, and at last the city was still. Ve'eta Talyahu Hemitu Becherev Beit HaMelech. And so they were able to kill Ataliah in the Beit HaMelech where she herself had done her own murders. And now begins, as we'll see tomorrow, the story of the ironies of the end of Yoash.